Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Laura, for leading us there again this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to refer to this just in a few moments, briefly, but this is where some of my thought is taking us from. So here we are embarking on the Easter season, and as I just stood back and said, well, God, what is it that you want us to get out of this? And one thing that occurs to me is that when you think through the suffering, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the exaltation of our Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven, the whole Easter story, God's rescue mission, is before us in Scripture, recorded for our benefit to encourage us. And so I would hope that as we go through the Easter season, I am not one that believes in, for instance, reflecting on the suffering of Jesus, that I am to put myself in a state of depression and morbidity. I don't think it's all about emotions. And so part of what we want to see is that Jesus, even today, had the complete picture in mind. And just like the woman who was in pregnancy and some of the struggles that that involves, ultimately the great joy of birth and a new little life overrides. And I hope that you believe Jesus when he says she forgets the pain she had. I think the issue is there in comparison to the joy of having this little life, that pain fades, even though it's in the past. In some respects, you don't forget the pain. We don't forget that Jesus suffered. But in comparison to that, look at where he is now. And we need to focus on the future. So that's kind of what the whole Easter story also is about. So when we come to Hebrews chapter 12 here, we kind of pick up this thought that's right here before us. And look at what he says at verse 2. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. In other words, look at what he did. He is our example. He has set the pace. And by watching what he did, we can learn. He is the pioneer. That's a new word in some of your Bibles, isn't it? It's usually the author and the finisher of our faith. But he's the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not be weary and lose heart. And so there's the key thought. We are to look at what he went through, and that's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks. Look at what he went through, and by looking at him, it's going to help us to not become weary and depressed and discouraged in regard to our Christian faith or living on planet Earth, and it's going to help us not to lose heart. So our minds as well as our hearts are guarded when we consider what he went through and his example to us. And so the point would be that the whole story of the Easter season brings us joy. And it strengthens and sustains us not only in our emotional health but also our spiritual well-being as well. And this is what we want to get to. In reality, considering the whole Easter season changes me. Because we all know that we live in a world where suffering is a reality. And as I look at what Jesus went through, in comparison, we have not yet resisted to the shedding of our blood. That's what he says in verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So Jesus has suffered much in a much greater way, and I can learn from that and I can be changed. One of the thoughts that I was going over this last week was the fact that when we come to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and all that that means to us, there are three words that began coming to my mind repeatedly. And it was the words, ahead of time. Ahead of time. It's in advance. And what they refer to, these are the words of Jesus. If we were to look at Matthew 24 and verse 25, or Mark 13, 23, Jesus says this, and he's talking about the end times. And he says, I have told you everything ahead of time. There's something to be said about Jesus speaking in that way because these words become to us words of promise. And if you're jotting down just scripture references, here just in John, in these short three or four little chapters, you have chapter 13, 19. He says, I am telling you now, before, okay, in advance. In chapter 14, verse 29, I have told you now, before. Okay, there's a reason for that. Chapter 16, here where we read this morning, and I just want to turn back there, it's the issue in verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not fall astray. In verse 4, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember. And even in verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. So I have told you before, so that when the time comes. So what time is he talking about? He's talking about real time from planet Earth's perspective. He's talking about experienced time, time that he would go through, but that the disciples would go through with him in some respects, watching him in his rejection and suffering and torture and death and burial. They would watch it. They would be with him through this whole process. And so it would be felt time. We know that it will be fulfilled time because all this happened to fulfill Scripture. But it would be a time of hurting and then a time of deliverance. But Jesus says, I am telling you, ahead of time. So the value of having Jesus' words of promise before us is so important in facing difficult times on planet Earth. What I believe is this, that God so loved us that he has made a practice, right from Old Testament, right through into New Testament, of making promises. And our whole Christian life is built on promises. If God had not promised, we have nothing to look forward to. Of course, the great thing is this, that we know that many of the promises he made in the New Old Testament were fulfilled in Old Testament times, but they were fulfilled particularly when Jesus came and went through all that he went through and even beyond. And so there, in many respects, God the Father said, I have told you ahead of time. Now you see what I did? You see what I did? You see what I did? You need a character reference? Look at what I did. I told you ahead of time. Promise. And those same promises now were put in place just before Jesus was going to suffer and die and be buried. He promised that he would rise again. The value of having heard ahead of time and understanding that God has given his word is very important to us. It's like, can you trust me? I've told you. Look at my track record. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise. We just sang it. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. ahead of time. And so much of the joy that we have as believers is because we know in advance what God is up to. He has set it before us. And so in Hebrews 12, when it says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, way down the road here, way past the suffering, way past the burial, the death, way past all the joy set before him, he set his eyes on that. This was what was promised him, and that helped him to get through each step of the way in a suffering world. So for us today, promises are so important to us. I also thought, when you think ahead of time, that these are words that are quite panoramic. Because what they are is words of seeing the beginning and the end. And Jesus was very intentional in helping his disciples to understand that what I'm going to show you is from right here to right there. You are not in the dark. Jesus in Luke chapter 18 said to his disciples, verses 31 to 33, "We are going up to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, I will be rejected by the chief elders," or the religious uppity-ups. "And they will suffer. They will cause me to suffer. I will suffer shame. I will be killed on a cross. I will be buried. But I want you to understand that on the third day, I will rise again. And I'm on my way back to my Father. I'm going home." That is the joy that is set before me. And so when I think of this, it isn't just a matter of beforehand he's given his promises, but we are not in the dark because we understand now in hindsight each step that Jesus would go through. Back then, he was telling them in foresight, prophecy. Now, we're very familiar with that term from Old Testament. The prophets prophesied of the expected future, as God said. But Jesus was actually predicting, prophesying, that in just a few days now, this is going to happen to me. And he told it to a T. So that in hindsight today, when we look back, not only was he giving the disciples a panoramic view of what's going to happen over this next week or two, we look back and say, oh yeah, now we see just as he said, just as he predicted, it came to fulfillment. And Jesus did say, these things will happen in fulfillment of the scriptures. I am so grateful that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he did endure the cross. He despised the shame. And so he wants us to appreciate that he has not left us in the dark. The Christian faith is not blind. It is a faith that is built upon evidence documented in this book, promises that God has given, in panoramic view, so we are not in the dark about the future of the person who knows Jesus in a personal way. He has laid it out for us. How do we know that future promises that are yet a part of the panoramic view are going to be fulfilled? It's because in the past, that part of the panoramic view has been fulfilled to a T, including his death, burial, and resurrection. And here we go. The panoramic view is very important. And whether we talk about Easter season or you talk about end times, like given at Matthew chapter 24 and 25 and that whole group of scriptures, or some of the teaching in the epistles, the fact is that we have been told ahead of time. And these promises have been proven true. And this panoramic view is so helpful. We don't understand every little step of the way, but we understand the big picture because God has not left us in the dark. The reason Jesus saw the beginning and the end and gave us these words is that we might enter into the joy of seeing the end from the beginning. Who for the joy set before him, who for the joy set before us. We see through the eyes of Jesus. We don't see with our own eyes. We walk by faith today. We walk by faith in the eyes of Jesus looking to the future. He's made promises. He's laid it out. I'm not in the dark. And what a joy for those in suffering. And I mentioned just a week or two ago, Valerie Brown, one of our former members, who dying of cancer, when Ernie Glenn and I used to, we walked into her living room that morning to anoint her with oil and to pray over her and to bless. And here's Valerie dying, just singing to the Lord. You know, why? There was a joy set before her. And she knew the promises and she knew the panoramic view right to that day. And it's almost like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. That's where I'm headed. I hope you have that security in terms of facing your future, that you know Jesus. But just one little other thought. When we think of ahead of time, Jesus often tells us in advance to prepare us for the journey. And so we would read in Hebrews 12 that when we look at him, we are to be encouraged. And so right now, like this morning, we prayed about so many things. People who struggle with physical health, emotional health, needing spiritual stability and spiritual health. We live in a suffering world, but Jesus sets us before us so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. Because ultimately, whether we're at 86, 56, 26, the body discovers that it doesn't have the resources to carry it on the way it used to be. And I often find that when the body is struggling with an absence of resources to keep it strong and keep it moving as it used to, not too far behind that, there are those emotional resources that are depleted. I am being worn down physically, emotionally. It is well documented that any person who has a faith, and it may not be the Christian faith, but any person who has a faith in God, a God, is more healthy physically and emotionally because they put their faith in God. Now, it may not be the true God, and I'm not excusing that, but those of us who know the true God, who has a proven track record laid out for us in this book, there are certain benefits, not just eternal, but physical benefits, better health, and emotional benefits, better mental health, by resting in the promises, knowing our future, the fact that Jesus has told us in advance, and it helps us to be better prepared for the rough patch from here to there. And that's what Jesus was going to go through. He says, I'm telling you, I have a joy set before me. I'm going home. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to sit on the right hand of the throne of God. But between here and there, for the next few days here, I am going to suffer. And so much so that at one text in the Gospels, he says, My soul is grieving to the point of death. This was going to be an awful time. But Jesus was prepared in the sense that he knew he was going to come out the other end, risen, exalted, Lord, past it, and he is eternally sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And so he tells us that he's told us ahead of time in Mark 13, so that you will be on your guard. I have told you ahead of time in John 13, 19, so that you will believe I am he. Just to take him at his word and to discover that he is God, he is Jesus, everything we have stands because of him. I have told you, as we just read here in 16:1, so that you will not go astray. 16:4, I have warned you. 16:33, you may have peace. In other words, a verse of Scripture that we love to quote, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When was Jesus saying that? Before he went into Jerusalem for everything he was going to go through. But he tells them in advance, I'm telling you ahead of time, now let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God? You have a whole track record in the past, right from Genesis up to this point. You believe in God? Now, believe also in me. I'm telling you, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. What was he doing? The joy set before him becomes the joy of every person who repents of sin and receives Jesus as their Savior. And that joy helps us right now, going into Jesus' suffering, death, and burial. Right now, it would have helped the disciples to not have troubled hearts. Neither let them be afraid. Believe me. Believe me. And so today, just starting into this season, the value of being told ahead of time enables us to prepare for doing the journey. And next week, we're going to talk about doing the journey. Because there's some journeys in this room that are reality according to planet Earth's view. How we can face them, however, is in view of heaven's view. And eternal life through Jesus always overrides the issue of physical death. That is the hope that is set before the believer. So as we come to the communion table today, it's with the fact that this table reminds us that Jesus died, he suffered, he died, they buried him. And on that cross, he gave his body, he gave his blood. He died for me. It was the death penalty that I should die for my sin. But Jesus loves me. This I know, because he gave his life. Herein is love, not that I love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And Jesus became sin for us. He didn't know any sin, but he became sin for us so that we through him could receive the righteousness of God. And so today, we just are so thankful that he fulfilled his promise. He showed us a panoramic view, and he prepares us in advance for even the rough times, because he himself suffered, he is able to comfort those who suffer. We have a great God. So as we begin our communion time today, maybe there's a couple things we need to consider. Paul tells us to examine ourselves First of all, do each of us today know the security of knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way? Have you, in your life, recognized that God loves you so much and He values a relationship with you, but He cannot have that relationship if we allow sinfulness, the fact that we have broken God's laws, we have sinned against God, and that sin is in the way. In order to deal with that sin, we need to change our mind about it, and we need to ask God to forgive us of that sin and receive Jesus as our personal Savior and tell God, I want to go to heaven to be with you, and I recognize that Jesus is the only way. I want Him. And this is not a matter of being religious. It's a matter of having a relationship with the living God. And the communion table, it's God's will that those who are part of God's family participate at that this table. We claim to be in union with Him through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you have the security of that relationship. If you do not, myself or one of our church leaders would be more than happy to help you discover how that could be your personal possession. Even beyond that, for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus, sometimes we know that we misbehave and we're not living according to the way of God, the God that we love. And sometimes we make mistakes and we're able to say, God, oh, I blew it, I'm sorry. And we can just move on and keep walking with God. But there's other times when we are actually perhaps in rebellion and I'm not listening to God, and God is saying, you shouldn't be doing this, and you know, this isn't good, you're choosing a bad path here, and you're really going to get hurt. The wages of sin is death always. And we need just to stop and ask God to do a new work within our heart and to help us to overcome this rebellion and sin, and we need to surrender ourselves anew to follow Jesus. When it comes to the Lord's table, we need to make sure that we know Him and that we're walking with Him. That's why we call this communion. It means we're walking with God. Now, if you have issues with those two things, you're not sure you know Jesus, and maybe you're not walking with Him, God isn't saying, well, you just stay away from here. Just keep away. No, He isn't saying that. What He's saying is, isn't now the time to make it right? Won't you come to Jesus today in your own heart, ask Him to forgive you and give you eternal life and to have the joy set before us of heaven? Won't you come to Jesus now? But if you're rebelling, He's not saying, well, just keep away, you sinful Christian. He's saying, isn't now the time to confess your sin and to be renewed and to walk with me? This is God's way. So in the moments before us today, as we receive the elements and as we sit quietly, this is opportunity for each one of us to do business with God and talk to God about what we've just talked about. I'm going to ask Ernie and George if they'll come this morning as we commence with the communion service. In our church, the broken bread stands for the body that Jesus gave on the cross, and the cup, the wine stands for the blood. It's symbolic. By taking this, you don't become a Christian. By taking this, we remember what Jesus did for us. And so Ernie is going to give thanks for the bread, which symbolizes the body that Jesus gave voluntarily on the cross.
We thank You this morning, our Heavenly Father, first of all, for the day that You've given to us. We thank You for this table of remembrance that's been prepared for us. And we thank You, Lord, that You gave Your Son, Your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our place. And we can rejoice this morning in that sacrifice that He made for each one of us. He gave everything He had. He took all our sins in His body, and we're forgiven completely. And we're so thankful for that. As we take this bread this morning, a symbol of that perfect body that was bruised and broken for each one of us, may we remember that He did it because He loved us.
In our church, as the elements are distributed, if you choose to participate with us, we just ask that you'll take a piece of the bread and hold on to it until we all eat together. Historically, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He sat with His disciples, and as they were eating together, He took the bread, and as we prayed, He blessed it, and He said, "As often as you eat this bread, do it to remember me." And He meant, remember Him in His act of service and in His act of sacrifice as He would give Himself on our behalf very shortly on that cross. So let's remember what He did for us by eating together. George, could you give thanks for the cup, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before You today thankful for the sacrifice that You made. You gave Your Son, and thankful that Jesus gave His life for our sins so that we may spend eternity with You, forgiven. And Lord, as we participate in this drinking the cup today, this juice is a representation of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, and it's with thankful hearts that we partake together. Amen.
The scriptures say that in the same way Jesus blessed the cup, and so we have done that. And He said, as often as you drink this, remember me. Again, we remember Him because He served us. He paid the supreme sacrifice for us. Let's remember Him together. When we talk about putting faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, so faith is only as strong as the object that you put faith in, or the person. When you talk about putting faith in our Lord Jesus, what we mean is this: I believe His promise. I put my faith in what He said and apply it to my person. And so we receive Jesus as Savior, and we rejoice. It's on His Word I stand, and it gives me tremendous confidence for the future. And so we're going to stand and sing a couple verses of this great old hymn, Standing on the Promises. We hope that you can stay and have fellowship with us out in the foyer. Don't forget, if you'd like a little booklet of Easter reflections, they're there. And also, please, if you're coming to the Good Friday breakfast, sign up for that. The sign-up sheet's right by the mailboxes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this coming week, help us to stand on what You said, to stand on the promises, to claim them for our very own. We pray that the promises will help us to get through some of the struggles that are before us. We thank You that You are faithful to help us. Help us to prove You again and just to rejoice in all that You have made known to us. In Jesus' name, amen.